Hey, it's Instructor Mike. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps people like to listen? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who will want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing by reading this ad. So, if you've always wanted to start a podcast, make money while doing so, go to anchor.fm/start. To join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. Hey, what's going on? You're on the mic with Mike. We are talking about the situation that occurred in Toledo, Ohio. In Toledo, Ohio, with the officer-involved shooting of Toledo, Ohio police versus Mr. Lamar Richardson. I believe that's his name, Lamar Richardson. Okay. You're on the mic with Mike. And I just want to take a moment to thank you all for listening to this podcast. It really makes me feel very good, both personally, professionally, that I have the education and I've been blessed with the education and experience to be able to share with you guys. You know, being a former college professor, you know, I have had students that have had to pay for college, and, you know, I just want to offer this education to you guys for free, you know. And so I do want to say this, though, before we get into the lesson, take a moment to go to my Facebook page, Mike Brown. Okay, you'll see the firearms instructor picture, or follow me on Facebook. Okay, I still have yet to create a Instagram page or something like that personally, but this is forthcoming. Also, I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a family rights lawyer and a criminal law attorney. And so, you know, I already have my master's degree and my, you know, college education, but, you know, law school is extremely expensive. Not something, you know, for the faint of heart, for sure, but not something that, you know, the average person can afford without taking student loans. I don't want to do that. And so I only ask that you donate at least, you know, $10 or whatever you can, you know, to my GoFundMe page. That's GoFundMe.com/Mike2LawSchool, all together. GoFundMe.com/Mike2LawSchool, LawSchool. Just go on there, you know, read my story, and I'm just pretty blunt with it. And I want you, you know, I would love for you to donate, you know, with it $1, $5, $10, you know, whatever you find it in your heart to do, or to donate. It will go towards law school. I'll create a webpage that where you'll be able to follow my progress, you know, through the LSAT, which is a law school admissions test, and then, you know, the admissions process where I'm applying to. I'm looking to go to John Marshall, a couple of other places too. And so, you know, I'm not against going out of town, but, you know, that's just that. So I'm not going to do that, and so I would greatly appreciate that. Now, let's get with the lesson, okay? Thank you for listening. We're looking at Toledo, Ohio, and the shooting of Lamar Richardson by 27-year-old Lamar Richardson by Toledo, Ohio police. In this given situation, here you have officers that, you know, had responded prior to this day to multiple reports of a person, you know, an armed robbery, multiple armed robberies that occurred where the witnesses gave a description. They identified Mr. Richardson through various means or through whatever means was available. They identified him. And so, you know, you all are able to go on YouTube or go on Facebook and see the video of this chase. But the video begins with a chase of police officers who are tactical or SWAT trained police officers in an unmarked patrol vehicle. And they approach a black male dressed in what appears to be, by the video, a baseball cap, dark colored skinned, a neon green construction work like t-shirt, short pants, and he is on a bike. Subsequent to him seeing the police officers, he gets off the bike and then takes off running behind a building. The passenger partner of the police vehicle, exits the vehicle and gives chase on foot, chasing after the person later identified as Mr. Richardson. Then the driver continues his pursuit, where after going through a few blocks and seeing his partner, you know, the video come, or the car comes to a stop where you hear shots are fired, and Mr. Richardson was, I believe, subsequently pronounced deceased on the scene. And so I'm going to preface any comment that I'm about to say regarding this or any situation involving the use of deadly force that the death is tragic, and this is not a celebration of his death regardless of his activities, but it is just the conversation that talks about, you know, what likely led to that. Okay. We are also going to talk about a United States Supreme Court case, Illinois versus Wardlow, which is codified as 528 U.S. 119. 528 U.S. 119. It's a 2000 Supreme Court case in the year 2000. That's when the holding was rendered by the court, by the Chief Justice Earl, not Earl Warren, but Chief Justice Rehnquist Court. And so the topic of this is, you know, with on the mic with Mike, you know, Lamar Richardson in Illinois versus Wardlow, you know, we'll talk running from the police. Okay. Is this something that should be done, and why shouldn't this be done? When we look at this case, we look at the situation where, you know, we often tend to ask the question, did the police have probable cause to even approach Mr. Richardson in this case? And of course, yes, they did. They had multiple descriptions of the person who had committed multiple armed robberies, said to have done so with the use of a firearm in these given situations. So here you got police that have a description. This is what they described. And so they see somebody matching this description. He, for no other reason other than their presence, you know, he starts to take off running. So if there was no reasonable suspicion pursuant to the United States Supreme Court case, Terry versus Ohio, codified as 392 U.S. 1, 1968. Terry versus Ohio was a landmark Supreme Court case that established the principle of the Terry stop, reasonable suspicion, and officers' reasonable and articulable suspicions that a crime has been or is about to be committed, and subsequent to those suspicions, that gives police the right or the ability to be able to stop a person, and then after that temporary stop, conduct a pat-down search of that person, determine whether or not they have any weapons on or about that person, or on or about their person that could harm the police officer. And so when you look at those factors in the Richardson case in Toledo, Ohio, the running also gave police the reason or the ability to be able to pursue after him, pursuant to Terry versus Ohio. So the chase, you know, begins, and then it culminates with shots being fired. And so I suggest that running from the police is never something that you should do. All right, continuing on, we're going to continue to talk about this situation in Toledo. Sorry about that brief interruption, but we're going to continue. You know, running from the police is never something that you should do. You should never do that. When you look at the situations, I want you to understand that running from the police will almost give them reasonable suspicion to believe that you are up to some type of crime. You know, when you look at that situation, it did result in his death. And so if you look at the situations regarding so many others who have ran from the police, this is never something you should do. You know, I even talk about the young men who tend to sag their pants when it comes down to them running from the police. You know, you typically, you know, have a natural reaction because of your pants not being tightened fast, you know, tightened so much that you tend to grab your pants and then run. Well, when you grab your pants and then you run from the police, you give them a reason to feel that you have a gun around your waistband, because most people carry firearms around their waistband. And even though that may not be the case for these young men, that they are in fact carrying a gun, it's about the optics and about how it looks, okay? So I caution against that. And so you know, when we look at this given situation, there were other things that took place in this video that could have been prevented more on the part of the person who committed the robbery in or the armed robbery, in that if he would have just stopped and stayed in place, 9 times out of 10, the police could have given commands, which in this video they did not that much that I can hear. Okay. But in this instance, they could, you know, he could have stopped with his hands up, you know, given commands, and after having been given commands, taken into custody without any further incident. But whatever you run from the police, I want you to understand something. There are several things that your body does under the influence of stress. And under the influence of stress, you know, you'll get what's called, or even a situation where you feel your life is about to be taken. It activates the sympathetic nervous system, dump all the major blood and oxygen, run into the major muscles of the body to support a fight or flight response. You know, you operate off of 2 types of motor skills, your fine motor skills and your gross motor skills. Fine motor skills are those skills that allow you to be able to you know, write or type or play piano, things that require precision, you know, such as using logic to formulate logical arguments and be able to, you know, take in and comprehend complex concepts, things like that. That's what your fine motor skill in your brain allows you to be able to do. This, of course, if you're in a calm environment that's without provocation or without you believing that you are coming under some kind of physical harm or stress, you know. But if you couple with that, or if you add to that those high levels of stress, the adrenaline, the sympathetic nervous system dump, all the oxygen and, you know, blood rush to the major muscle groups to support, you know, to support a fight or flight response. How is it that you would like for the police to make logical inferences and make logical and rational arguments and take their time when their sympathetic nervous system has just dumped those that oxygen and blood, and it becomes about survival now? You know, I don't know how many of you all listening are in shape, but if you're not in shape, just go on ahead and try doing 1,000 jumping jacks and then tell me, you know, start saying the ABCs and then start doing things that require, or not just saying the ABCs, singing the AB song. Think about a complex math problem that you know the answer to, or think about something that you would like to do, writing or texting, and watch how your body becomes fidgety. You know, you'd have to calm down to a more calmer space, if you will, that allows you the ability to be able to think logically, okay? And if we want our police officers to be able to think logically before the situation happens and while the situation is going on and in place, why make it worse? Why make it worse for them to have to think, only for you, post use of force incident, to state that they should have thought? And this is not providing an excuse for those bad police officers. We're never providing an excuse for them. But we are talking about the great percentage of the honorable men and women that are out there doing the job that is a thankless job, doing the job that most people don't even want to do. You couldn't possibly imagine the dangers that law enforcement have to run to all the time, every day. You know, no one ever calls law enforcement to give them a compliment of what they've done. Sometimes you get that, you know, but that's not a great deal of the calls that law enforcement deal with. You know, we deal with the calls of the person who's off their meds, who, you know, made threats. We deal with the calls of the bomb attack. We deal with the bomb threat. We deal with the calls of hysteria. We deal with the calls of domestic violence. We deal with the calls of, you know, shots fired and, you know, apathy, if you will, for the common man. You know, we get to the calls of the dangers of life, and that is what the police is supposed to be able to bring some kind of order to. Most of the time, the situations end out well. Some of the times, they don't. Some of the times, the police overdo it. Some of the times, the community overdoes it, you know, and so these are the conversations that we need to have collectively, because until we do, there will be no real healing in these United States of America, regardless of who's president. Okay. I do want to thank you for listening to this podcast. This podcast is kind of short, and I just want to give you short snippets of, you know, what you're going to be hearing here. I am going to be teaching free college courses on this podcast, as well as on my Facebook Live. And all that I ask that you do is just donate to my law school campaign. You know, I want you guys to learn, and I don't feel that you should have to pay a college tuition to be able to learn those things. So just look out for some of the lessons that I have coming up, and you guys stay safe. Once again, this is On the Mic with Mike, and we were talking about the Toledo, Ohio shooting of 25-year-old Lamar Richardson using the case law of Illinois versus Wardlow, 528 U.S. 119, 2000. And talking about, again, the provisions of Terry versus Ohio, 392 U.S. 1, 1968. Don't forget to go visit my website, MikeBrownsClass.com. And please, 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 please find it in your heart. Donate to my law school campaign at GoFundMe.com/Mike2LawSchool. Love you guys. Take care.